show today brought to you by Purdy Insurance, and great to bring in Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
All right, I'm going to start with this. I know that with the trade deadline coming up, you know, we'll talk about that in a moment. But right now you have the number 1, 2, and 3 payrolls, Mets, Yankees, Padres, combining for 157 wins. You have payrolls 27, 28, 29, Rays, Orioles, Pirates combining for 175 wins. So those are just statements of fact to this point. Now, is there anything in this history class that we could take from those facts?
Well, I remember talking to top executives of the Players Association during the All-Star Week in Seattle, and he says, this is our worst nightmare. You know, we try to tell teams, if you spend, you'll win. The three top spenders, you know, the Mets, the Yankees, and the Padres have all been big, bitter disappointments. And here's the Mets, you know, the highest payroll in baseball history. Now they've already reversed course and said, well, this doesn't work. Now we're going the other way and tear it down. You know, the Padres are trying to hang in there, but they don't make the playoffs. They're probably the most disappointing team or most underachieving team in baseball history. And anytime the Yankees don't make the playoffs, of course, it's a huge disappointment.
All right, so with an expanded playoff field like we've had the last couple of years, what has that done for buyers versus sellers, in your opinion, and how interesting is the landscape based on who believes they actually have a shot?
Well, it forces teams to make a decision. A week ago, Chicago Cubs were all set to sell Cody Bellinger and Marcus Stroman. They reeled off 8 in a row. And now they said, well, we can't do that. Our fan base would go ballistic. So they have no choice now to stay pat. A team like the San Diego Padres, same thing. So, okay, we won't trade Juan Soto. We'll trade Josh Hader and Blake Snell. Then they go ahead and sweep the Texas Rangers this weekend. So those plans change. So, yeah, it caused a lot of teams in the bubble. You know, it seems like Seattle doesn't know what to do. They've gotten a hot. I don't think they want to buy. We'll see if they sell. You know, but, you know, it'd be tough to sell up the fan base. Wait a minute. Now we've got one winning season 21 years, and you're giving up on us? So, yeah, a lot of teams caught in the middle. It makes it a tough time.
Texas has obviously bought. Now, they've got a couple guys out. DeGrom's out for the year. Evaldi was just put on the IL. They pick up Scherzer. What did you think about that acquisition and where the Rangers are positioned right now?
Oh, I thought it was a marvelous move by the Rangers, an absolute steal. Yeah. And they're paying $36.5 million of his contract. So pretty much you have him for free next year. And all you do is give up a prospect, and they're number three prospect. Now they're number one or two. So unless this kid turns out to be Shohei Ohtani, it's an absolute steal.
What did you think of the decision by Artie Moreno and the Angels on Ohtani?
I love that decision.
Me too.
Yeah, they were never putting him on the market. You know, I talked to the Perryman agent or GM. I saw Artie Moreno up in Cooperstown. And he says, why don't people believe us? We're not trading him. They want to keep him. Now, if they didn't want to sign him as a free agent, okay, it makes sense. And they thought there was zero chance of him coming back, it would make sense. But they want him, and the best way to keep him is by winning, either making the playoffs or get close and take your chances. I mean, Mike Trout stayed. Why can't Ohtani stay? And now they're, you know, doubling down on it, saying, okay, let's go get some help. You know, let's go get some pieces trade-wise. You know, so they get Lucas Giolito and Lopez and got, you know, Crone and Grichek yesterday. So I love what they're doing. You know, what are you going to get for Ohtani? A couple of, you know, just a couple of prospects. Someone's not giving your entire farm system. So, you know, that wasn't going to be worth it.
No, exactly. It was not going to be worth it. When you look, we might as well go with the team that's in the neighborhood here, and it's the Phillies. Where do you see the Phillies positioned in all of this as buyers, sellers, or stand pat?
Definite buyers. You know, David Dombrowski is as aggressive as a GM as there is in the game. Yeah. And they gotta buy. You know, they don't have a top prospect. Some of the guys got hurt. But they definitely have to buy here. You know, make a move, show the guys are trying. And I think they'll make the playoffs. I'm a lot more bullish on Phillies than a lot of people. I just love the makeup of the team, the grit, determination. Sounds corny, but I think that team, as far as culture and everything else, is as good as any in the game. A guy like Kyle Schwarber, I mean, he's got his flaws. But, you talk about a guy, just a gamer who wants to win all the time. A lot of guys in the clubhouse are like that.
Yeah, no, I've told people around here, I said, look, I always felt from the second it happened, one of the worst moves the Red Sox made was not keeping him because of not just what he could do performance-wise with his bat, but clubhouse, things like that. It is, when you look at the Yankees, where do you think their position with all this? Is Aaron Judge the big acquisition?
I think they got to make a mild acquisition. I mean, it's the Yankees. You got to make the playoffs. Anything else is a bitter disappointment. Fans are going nuts. Somebody might have to pay the price, like Aaron Boone. I'm not saying he should be fired or anything like that, but right. Someone's going to have to pay. And I think they have to, go all in. I'm not saying give up your farm system, but at least moves to show that you're trying and get some help. They still stayed around without Judge. It's amazing how much he means that team. And tell you what, if Judge has a terrific last 2 months here, and the Yankees make the playoffs, he'll probably finish second in the MVP race. I mean, it's amazing what he means to that franchise.
Yeah, no, there's no question. He does mean a lot when he plays, and that's the key. The Braves have been the team that, especially in the first inning, I mean, they get out. Dick Girardi, who does basketball with me on the Penn State Network, we talk all the time about playing with the lead. Well, the Braves play with the lead a lot. What is your thought on watching that team and how they go about their business?
Just so professional. They same thing, very close-knit team. And those guys are mostly homegrown, like Philadelphia, but homegrown guys, and they know each other growing up. A bunch of those guys are from Atlanta anyway. So, no, it's the gold standard. And that was the gold standard back in the John Scherholz days when they won the 14 straight division titles. Now they're doing the same thing with Alex Anthopoulos. Brian Snicker is like the reincarnation of Bobby Cox. So it's a great, great organization. They do things right, make fabulous trades. And, right now, they're built to win the World Series. I mean, it'd be disappointing to them if they don't win it.
Right, exactly. Look, I will freely admit that Ollie Marmol, who managed 2 years in Huron State College, so he's a friend. The Cardinals obviously have trouble right now. So where do you see this? Because they have a mixture of some young guys, and they have also a lot of heavily paid guys. They've already made a couple of moves, Jordan Montgomery to Texas, and Jordan Hicks, who was here in State College, now goes up to Toronto. What's your thought on them right now?
Well, and they had to make the moves they did. They'll trade Jack Flaherty next.
Right.
Maybe, call Paul DeJong, maybe Tommy Edman. But, yeah, they're going to be, built to win next year. I'm a big Ollie Marmol fan. He does things right. When everybody was going crazy, when he, called out Tyler O'Neill, I love that move, and so do those veteran players. So, old-school approach. He's doing it the right way, the Cardinal way. And it's just one of those years. I mean, who knew that, the pitching would all go backwards and everything else. So, they'll be right back in it next year. They're in the right, right division. They'll get some free agents. And, it wouldn't surprise anybody, certainly not me, if they're back winning that division again next year.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you said in the first answer when we were talking about teams that have won, with lower payrolls versus teams that have been losing or not winning enough with bigger payrolls, and what the Players Association was saying. It was also an off season, and this usually happens after the collective bargaining agreement happens, where Xander Bogaerts got an 11-year deal. We know the deal Soto got. Trey Turner got 11 years. None of those guys are lighting the world on fire right now. Is that also a concern for the Players Association that when people have gone out to do this, there has not been the payoff some thought they would have?
No, absolutely. It's usually, though, I will say in defense of those guys, the first year is always the toughest year. All these free agents put so much pressure on themselves that first year to justify the contract. There's no way Trey Turner's going to continue this. He's such a great player, great guy. So it's almost like, you know, we saw Nick Castellanos last year. You know, look at the difference now, the way he's playing. Bogaerts will be much better next year. But, yeah, I mean, it's certainly a concern. I mean, when you pay that kind of money, you want those guys to live up to it. And if they don't, certainly other, you know, owners will say, wait a minute now, look what happened here, so why should I spend money if it's going to be a disappointment? But, hey, I mean, a guy like Trey Turner, remember the Padres offered $40 million more. You know, Bogaerts probably got overpaid as far as, I'm not sure if anybody was in that 200 price range. He got 280. But, yeah, just there was a, you know, high demand on some of these guys.
As we lead to the trade deadline, just give me a couple names that you're watching with interest to see if the movement happens and to where.
Well, I still think Verlander gets traded. I really do. I think he goes to Dodgers or Astros. I think, you know, they already set the precedent of paying so much money down in a contract. I think Cohen will do the same thing. And so I go Dodgers or Astros with him. And there is a drop-off. And we'll see Lorenzen and Rodriguez from Detroit. Like I said, we'll see Jack Flaherty, you know, those type of guys. But not household names. I think the, you know, biggest name, obviously, so far was Scherzer. I think the next is Verlander. And then it stops there.
Finally, can you explain the Mets?
No, it's just a, God, everybody just kind of fell apart. It was strange. Just so many underachieving guys. And, you know, I don't think it's Showalter's fault. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I fully do believe that David Stearns will be running that show here as soon as his contract expires in the end of October. Who knows? Maybe that's his, you know, handprints on what's going on now. But it's obvious they're giving him a clean slate, saying, wait, do what you want here. Let's build what you had in Milwaukee and build a farm system so we don't have to spend $350 million on payroll.
Bob, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Really appreciate the time.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care, Steve.